Our subject this morning is the last statement of this seventh verse, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Ye shall know. Things happen to us in order that things might happen in us, so that things can happen through us. Now, this is very plain, and this would be a good thought for you to take personal concerning your life. In God's providence, things happen to us so that by God's preparing work, things happen in us and move us toward God's purpose for things to happen through us. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren at the age of 17, he was not qualified at that time to rule over Egypt. He would be qualified some 22 years down the road, at age 39, but not at age 17. So there's a process. There's a whole lot of things had to happen. The right kind of things. The things that only God could bring about. Things that would involve more pain than pleasure. But they were all necessary things in Joseph's life. So I repeat, in God's providence, things happen to us so that by God's preparation, things might happen in us and move us toward God's purpose for things to happen through us. A lot of things in this life we say no to. I didn't ask for that. I didn't want that. I didn't need that to happen. But it happens. It happens. Imagine the time in the lives of a couple back in the book of Judges. The parents of Samson. Young man, he's been such a delight to his parents. A Nazarite from his mother's womb. Fine young man. He's never been drunk. He's never done anything out of the way. And they're so proud of him. And one day he comes in and says, I've found a woman I want to marry. And she's a Philistine. It crushed them. His mother's heart was crushed. I can imagine his dad hit the ceiling. And regardless of whatever fit they may have pitched about it, and of course any of us that are parents have been there, regardless of whatever kind of fit they pitched, the Bible says they knew not that it was of the Lord. Really kind of knocks us in the head, don't it? But it tells us that God's not going to do much that'll work out the way we think it ought to. I'm finding that out more and more and more. This business of following the Lord, it's not about you living good enough to get God to do things the way you want Him to do them. Or getting Him to do what you want Him to do. No. Tell you what is it about. It's all about you and I learning that God is God. And what he does is right, whether we approve of it or not. And of course, anybody that's not a liar would testify that he does a whole lot that we don't approve of. Lord, I'd just rather it have been the other way. We're in a part of the country where we have a great deal of religion. There is the shallow, legalistic, religious mindset around our part of the country. And they would look at young Samson and side with his parents. And they'd say, oh no, God's not in that. You get entangled up with a Philistine woman. Oh no. But the Bible says God was in it. I try to avoid folks who are so far along that can tell all about what God's in and what he's not in. And I know some of them, and you do too. Well, God's in this. God's not in that, you know. I mean, they can just look at anything and everything and tell you if it has God's signature or the devil's signature. You'd have to be as wise as God is to know all that. But like Samson's parents, we don't know all the time which things are good, you know. But God would have us know this. I am the Lord. And that's what verse 7 says in the latter part. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 10. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 13. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord. And then the last line in the chapter, verse 14. And they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord is saying to Israel through Ezekiel, his prophet, this judgment is going to do lots of things to you. But it's going to do one thing in you. When I'm done, you're going to be fully convinced of this, that I am the Lord. When tragedy strikes in our lives or in our families, we just seem shocked by this profound truth, as if we never knew it before, that I really am not in control. God is. And of course, until this happens, until tragedy strikes, we walk around with the attitude, well, I think I can handle just about anything that'll come up. But when it comes, and when enough of it comes, we finally get it. I'm not in control of much of anything. And God makes our lives thus on purpose. It's deliberate on God's part that you may know that I am the Lord. This is a recurring statement throughout the book of Ezekiel, occurring some 71 times in this book of the Bible. You may know that I am the Lord. I want to show you just a few of them this morning. I don't think we'll get to all 71 because I want some lunch and then supper. So, just a few of them. First, in time of war and death. Now, I'm going to apologize. I hope anybody's not dumb enough to call me right now, but it just dawned on me. I forgot to turn my phone off. And you don't turn yours off, it's okay. We'll laugh when it rings. But I don't want mine to ring. In time of war or death, and that's the scene we've read about here in the early part of chapter 6. There's to be many casualties. And verse 4, God said, "And your altars shall be desolate, your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars." Then verse 7, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Death. Whether death occurs in war, as it is here, or by disease, or by some fatal accident, we'd call it, car wreck or whatever. When death occurs, especially when it's somebody we know and love, there is the sobering reality that God is God. And we think like Mary and Martha did. You know, if I were God, my loved one wouldn't have died. I'd have done differently from what God did. Yes, but the Lord says, "I do what I do, the way I do it, when I do it, that ye may know that I am the Lord." The ball never was in your court. I am the Lord. And of course, some people get bitter and they ask why. A young man said to me some time ago, "I don't understand why God let my mother die. She was such a good person." Well, hey, good mothers, bad mothers, good dads, bad dads, we're all part of Adam's race and have the blood of sinful Adam running in our veins, and the sinful nature of Adam is in us. And that's why we die. And he went on to express doubts about the goodness of God and doubts about the Bible. And I just let him rattle on for a minute. That's all I could do. But I tell you this, one thing he learned, whether he'll confess it or not, God is God. It happened. It happened. But now God's children have such a conviction that God is right, come what may. God does right. We can't get bitter, regardless of how much it hurts. We do grieve. And of course, we may argue with the Lord a little bit about it. But at the same time, we're grounded in this. This is what God's done for us as His people, knowing in our hearts that God does right. And we're not going to change Him. He is the Lord. Look down at verse 14. "In time of desolation," the word desolate occurs twice in this verse, "so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate. Yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Ziblath." I used to like to watch the old westerns, and when I read that word desolate, I think about a ghost town, you know. See those sometimes on the old movies. Cowboy ride into a town where there's buildings standing, just a lot of dust and nobody or nothing. It's a ghost town. The only difference in that and this is God, is Nebuchadnezzar had done come in, and there wasn't any buildings. It's gone. Desolate, desolate, desolate. The walls of protection are broken down. Nebuchadnezzar is invaded, destroyed the temple, burned the city. Good things are gone. And when that happens to us in life, things change. We feel so many good things are gone. I liked it the way it was. I didn't want it to change. Yeah, but the Lord says, I do all this. I cause all this shakeup in your life that you may know that I am the Lord. That's the last line in the verse, see. Now chapter 7, verse 23. I'm just going to run down a few of these this morning and we'll be finished. Moral decline, lawlessness in the land. Do we know anything about moral decline in this land? Verse 23, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh. They shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Y'all don't know anything about that, do you? Mischief, rumors, and all that stuff. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation. And the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. God says, I'll give exactly what they deserve. Why? Why? Here it is in the last line. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Like the howling mob at the crucifixion, this world is going to shake its fist in God's face till they perish in their sins and drop off into hell. And the generation we're in is no different. But God says, my people are going to know. They have to bow and they have to acknowledge that I am the Lord. Next is a false security. Turn over to chapter 13. False security. And this is where America is. You hear what the politicians say. We're going to be all right. Democrats say we're going to fix what the Republicans have done and the mess they've made. And Republicans say we're going to fix the mess the Democrats have made. And, you know, it's going to be all right. We're going to figure it all out. We're going to work it all out. Listen to what God says here in chapter 13, verse 10. Even because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and others daubed it with untempered mortar. Now that's kind of funny analogy there. Those of you that know anything about building, one's going to build up a wall, the other's going to lay rock, and the other's going to daub it with untempered mortar, which won't hold at all. Just going to be patch, patch, patch from now on. That's American politics. Not going to fix anything. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, tell them it's going to fall, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? I thought y'all fixed that. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof. Your false security will fail you. While you're acting so surprised, why is this happening to us? We're good people. I can't believe this is happening to us. God is saying it's happening to you for this reason and for this cause. Last line of verse 15. And ye shall know, or verse 14. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. False security. False security. I've heard people say, well, now I don't have a job now, so I'm really going to have to trust the Lord. You better trust him if you've got a job. Well, the doctors have done all they can. We're really going to have to trust the Lord now. You better be trusting him before you even think about a doctor. See? Now chapter 15. Chapter 15. This is just down-to-earth practical stuff. And I know none of you have ever experienced any of these kind of situations, but this is talking about bad people like me. Chapter 15. This one is about making bad decisions. Nobody here has ever made a bad decision, have you? Well, let's look at it. Chapter 15, verse 7. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. I guess that's where the saying came from, out of the frying pan into the fire. That's what it's saying right here. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. Wonder why that happens. Why I can't get things right and run my own life successfully. Well, once again, he gives us the answer. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Not you, but I. Now chapter 17. Chapter 17. And this one is about, I would say, divine reversals. When God turns things around. Chapter 17. In the days of the Roman Empire, the vast majority of people were convinced that the empire will never fall. It's just too strong. We're under this oppression. We'll live here and we'll die here. It's just too strong. Well, it fell. When I was young, I was really brainwashed in believing that communism would take over the world before I got grown. You know, it's what I heard in school, church, and everywhere else. And of course, they'd close all the churches and kill all the Christians and burn all the Bibles. I remember well-known and respected preachers talking that way. And if I called their name, some of you'd get mad at me from our part of the country. One very well-known would say that the communists are going to take over by 1972 without firing a shot. You know. You see, when you get out of this book, you're messed up. You are messed up. When you swap this book for the newspaper, you're headed down the wrong road. God is the Lord. He can do anything He wants to do. He can turn the world upside down. And He has more than once turned my little world upside down. What about yours? He's still God. Look here at chapter 17 and verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one. I'll cut the top out of that tree. And will plant it upon an high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. I am the Lord. Divine reversals. Daniel 2:21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. God reverses things when He's ready. We're so full of unbelief, we say, it'll never change. It'll never be any different. It'll never be any better. Aren't we smart? Every 4 years we have an election just like we're running things, you know. I remember, a few more of you this old too, I can remember when Ronald Reagan was running for president. And some good people said, I don't think we need a movie star for our president, you know. But he's the man. Took the bull by the horns. Looked the devil in the face and said, tear down that wall. It was a movie star done that. It wasn't no politician. Huh? See, God is God. He'll do what He wills, with whom He wills, when He wills. And He said, when I get done, you're going to know that I am the Lord. See? If you think you've got God figured out, you're really messed up. I mean, He can take day before yesterday and make it day after tomorrow if He wants to. He's God. He can empty hell for the sake of His Son if He wants to. What are you going to do about it? He's the Lord. All right, chapter 22. In chastisement. In discipline. In correction. Chapter 22, verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, ye are all become dross. Behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace and blow the fire upon it to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury. And I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow unto you in the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. When I get done, you're going to know it's me. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Chapter 28. Epidemics. Diseases. Pestilence. I'm telling you, reading all this will cause you to believe the book. It'll cause you to believe that God is God. Chapter 28. Verse 20. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon. And I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And here it is. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. Here it is again. And they shall know that I am the Lord. There shall be no more pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know, here it is again, that I am the Lord. What do you reckon is the one thing God is trying to get across in this book of the Bible? What do you reckon is the one thing he would get across to us as a church and as individuals, with all that happens to you on a daily basis? What do you reckon is God's trying to say? Well, here it is, that you may know that I am the Lord. One more. Turn to chapter 34. Chapter 34. Verse 11. 34:11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is scattered, his sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Now remember, Jesus said in John, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Talking about Gentiles. So now this is not an old covenant promise here. Israel, the 10 tribes, they never resurfaced after the captivity. Judah did till Christ came, until 70 AD. But this is a new covenant promise. New covenant promise. Look at verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them. Talking about his sheep now. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Hold it. David has been dead hundreds of years when Ezekiel writes this. This is talking about true David, the one after God's own heart. God's own heart, Christ Jesus the Lord. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. Well, honey, they ain't ceased out of this land, but they're ceased out of the Lord's people. See? And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them a place round about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. And the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land. The Lord says, I'm going to do all this for my people. And here it is. Shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. Verse 30. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. On and on we can go. Chapter 35, verse 4. And they shall know, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Verse 9, ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 12, the beginning of the verse, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Verse 15, the end of the verse, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord is gracious to his own. Things happen to us that things might happen in us, that things might happen through us. Our Lord uses the prison house. He uses the lion's den. He uses the fiery furnace. He uses the fish's belly. He uses the Isle of Patmos. He uses that hell that you're going through on the job or at the house or with your family. A million other things in your life and mine. And when he's through, we still may not know much. But he said, you're going to know this when I get done. This is my whole purpose and all. You shall know that I'm the Lord. Young Samson, they thought, was an ordinary boy. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Old Jacob, sleeping out under the stars in the middle of nowhere, woke up and said, surely the Lord was in this place. And I didn't even know it. Roman centurion standing at the cross was brought to testify of all people. Truly, this was the Son of God. What about you? Has he ever showed up in your heart in such a way as you know that he is the Lord? My prayer is that he'll put such a desire, make that desire so great, that you'll cry out to him, "Lord, reveal yourself to me. Make yourself known to me. I want to know, really know, that you're the Lord." I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in happenstance. You're the Lord of all the earth. He'd have us know that. Let's stand together.